The Relic by John Donne. When my grave is broke up again, some second guest to entertain, for graves have learned that womanhead to be to more than one a bed, and he that digs it spies a bracelet of bright hair about the bone, will he not let us alone, and think that there a loving couple lies, who thought that this device might be some way to make their souls, at the last busy day, meet at this grave, and make a little stay? If this fall in a time or land where misdevotion doth command, then he that digs us up will bring us to the bishop and the king to make us relics. Then thou shalt be a merry maudlin, and I are something else thereby. All women shall adore us, and some men. And since at such time miracles are sought, I would have that age by this paper taught what miracles we harmless lovers wrought. First, we loved well and faithfully, yet knew not what we loved, nor why. Difference of sex no more we knew than our guardian angels do. Coming and going we perchance might kiss, but not between those meals. Our hands ne'er touched the seals which nature, injured by late law, sets free. These miracles we did, but now, alas, all measure and all language I should pass, should I tell what a miracle she was. This poem is one that was cited often, anthologized regularly in the early rediscovery of Donne, or rekindled enthusiasm for Donne in the earlier part of the 20th century. The line that was often singled out for praise was, "a bracelet of bright hair about the bone." It sounded very angular. There was a kind of muscularity, a kind of insistent alliteration and careful but intense play of vowel sounds that I think was very congenial to the early 20th century poets, especially to the modernists. I think it's that line that probably had T.S. Eliot very excited as he was thinking about the metaphysical poets in his essay of the same name. It's a striking line, there is no doubt of that, but as is often the case with Donne, all the hairpin turns of rhetoric, all the dazzling displays of wit, interesting and exciting and entertaining as they are, help to conceal or perhaps even misdirect the reader from some of the deeper levels of the poem. There's a way in which Donne will not give up his secrets quite so easily. What are the secrets in this poem? I think one of the secrets is he's talking about the miracles that they did as a couple, but he ends with a contemplation of the miracle not that she did, but the miracle that she was. It's a very striking ending to the poem, and I think it's not only the conventional humility topos or inexpressibility topos in which a poet says, "Yes, I'm a poet, I'm good with language, but I just can't tell you how great this was. You can't F the ineffable," as they say. I think there's more to it than that. I think that as Donne contemplates the miraculous nature, not only of the resurrection on the last day, but the miraculous nature of the love that they shared, of the vital and intense experience of their commitment, symbolized even by the materiality of their corpses with a ring around the bone of his arm. I think as he lets his mind play over many of those ideas, he finally ends with the idea that the miracle the two of them represented was preceded by and sustained by the miracle she was. I think that it's true of many, perhaps all, successful and successfully intense love relationships. There is a sense in which the couple manifest a kind of synergy, a kind of symbiosis, a miraculous togetherness, but that's always preceded by and sustained by each lover's sense of the miracle of the other. I think it's quite fitting that when Donne gets to this idea, that's the end of the poem. What else is there to say? What else is there that can be said? I think it points not only to the evident splendor of their relationship and the continuing vitality and power of his memory of her, but I think it also points ahead to the darkness, to the place language cannot go in the face of death, which we will see in a nocturnal upon St. Lucy's Day.